Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Pete Musto, Mario Ritter Jr., and Brian Lynn. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present America's Presidents. But first, here is Pete Musto.
Colleges and universities in the United States are pleased with a recent government decision on international students. Yet many schools fear they are losing a larger fight over the nation's reputation as a place that welcomes the world's very best students. U.S. university officials see it as a breakdown of what they have worked for. They are critical of President Donald Trump and his top aides. They say the Trump administration's repeated attempts to limit immigration have sent students a message that they are not welcome in America. Colleges say foreign students are listening. Since Trump was elected in 2016, the number of new international students coming to the U.S. has fallen by 10% after years of growth. Already, there is concern that the coronavirus health crisis and a slowdown of visa processing could prevent thousands of students from returning in a few weeks. Foreign students now have trouble predicting what to expect after seeing how quickly policies can change. Kim Wilcox heads the University of California, Riverside. She told the Associated Press there is a growing sense the U.S. is not a welcoming place. Higher education in the United States is still seen as the gold standard. But access to it comes with all kinds of risks, said Wilcox. The administration's latest policy would have forced international students in the U.S. to change schools or leave the country if their schools held classes entirely online because of the pandemic. Even those at universities offering a mix of online and in-person classes would have been barred from taking all their classes online. More than 200 colleges supported legal efforts by Harvard University and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT, to overturn the policy. Seven other cases followed as colleges and state government officials questioned the guidance. Called to court to defend the guidance, federal officials canceled it instead. It was widely seen as part of Trump's campaign to pressure U.S. schools and colleges to reopen this autumn, even as the number of coronavirus cases rises. But even in defeat, the policy added to the idea that American universities are no longer the welcoming places they once were. That is the opinion of Dennis Wirtz, head of research at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. The move comes as schools in Canada, Australia, and other nations push for more international students. Over time, Wirtz said, those countries may win the world's top scholars. It is painful for Wirtz to see. He came to the U.S. from Belgium in 1988 and remembers how warmly he was welcomed. Now he warns future students and researchers that off school grounds, there is growing anger towards immigrants. All those great scholars, wherever they are, India, China, Europe, may now go elsewhere or simply stay home, he said. We will see its effect 4-5 years from now. It's not falling off a cliff, but over time you have this creep down toward mediocrity. Leaders at other top research universities share his concern. Only hours after the administration withdrew the policy, the president of MIT released a statement. It warned that other countries are working hard to get students who have lost interest in the U.S. because of its growing anti-immigrant position. There is also fear that the administration will return with an amended rule, as it did after a 2017 travel ban faced legal action. Hoping to ease concerns, many colleges have made statements promising to support their international students. And many say they are prepared to return to court if needed. Daniel Dearmeyer, head of Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, says it is not too late to repair the damage. The U.S. higher education system is still seen as the best in the world, but that could change, he noted. We're going to have to fix this very quickly, he said. Talent will go where it sees the best opportunity for itself. U.S. colleges already were preparing for sharp drops in the number of students coming from overseas. It is still unclear how many will arrive next month. But observers expect it to be far below the nearly 1.1 million who came last year. The decrease could affect budgets at colleges that depend on money from foreign students, who usually pay higher rates for their study programs. But the effect includes much more than budgets, Dearmeyer said. International students represent a large share of the nation's research force, he said, especially in science and engineering fields. They also add a great deal to the economy, and without them, it would suffer, he said. College leaders called the latest legal battle a major victory that showed their power when they unite. But they already see other fights soon to come. The administration has shown it wants to limit a program that lets foreign students work up to 1 year during college or after they complete their studies. Colleges have also opposed Trump's recent suspension of new H-1B work visas, which many international students use to find work. I'm Pete Musto.
A South Korean study shows a jump in the number of online stock traders seeking help for gambling addiction. The number rose 200% during a 2-month period as COVID-19 restrictions and working from home gave South Koreans more time to trade stocks during the day. Individual investors who buy stocks online are known locally as ants. These retail investors were partly responsible for a 50% increase in share prices after concerns about the coronavirus led to a sharp price drop in March. Between the sell-off in March and May, a total of 214 people sought help for trading-related addictive behavior. That information comes from the Korea Center on Gambling Problems. It said that number was part of an overall 16% increase in callers seeking help for gambling. The problem could be a sign of things to come if work-from-home requirements and social distancing become part of normal life, experts warn. Individuals living alone have even fewer ways to get support from friends to control addictive behavior. Compulsive stock trading also lacks the social pressure that may act to keep people away from more traditional games of chance. However, experts note that the forces driving the two activities are similar. South Korea has not enforced any stay-at-home measures, even when the virus was spreading quickly through the country in February and March. However, people and businesses have largely followed government guidelines. Many South Koreans have avoided social gatherings and are working from home. One individual who sought help was a 35-year-old bank employee whose family name is Lee. He had been trading stocks online for over 1 year. He became an active trader after talking with a friend who claimed to have earned a lot of money buying and selling stocks. Lee had some success as an online trader. Once he made a profit of several hundred thousand dollars on a single trade. But increased trading time, because of Lee working from home, resulted in him losing $1 million over 5 days. Lee said his wife insisted that he seek help from an expert on gambling addiction. We tend to see an influx of people seeking help after a huge market dive, said Kim Yeon-soo, a treatment manager at the Korea Center on Gambling Problems Help Center in Seoul. The number of active investment accounts rose to 2.8 million from the middle of January through mid-July, compared to 1.6 million in the same period last year, records show. Most of these accounts were retail investors or day traders. One example of the increased activity was the July listing of stock for SK Pharmaceuticals. Each of the company's shares on offer for retail investors had 323 possible buyers. Their total down payments, money offered for buying the stock, totaled about $26 billion. Reuters news agency notes that successful buyers saw their investment increase in value by 400% in 4 days. Investor message boards on South Korea's main internet search engine have high traffic throughout trading hours. Usual posts include, I want to become a king ant, and I was robbed today as usual. Mental health experts said trading can become high-pressure gambling. They say there is little to hold back traders when they can trade easily online, at home, and often using credit. Shin-Yong Chul is a mental health expert at Kangbuk Samsung Hospital. He said gambling pushes the brain because of immediate electrifying results. Some of these people are buying, selling, invest in stable things, wait 3 months. They don't do this, Shin said. I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
Scientists have released the largest three-dimensional, or 3D, map of the universe ever created. The map is the result of a project launched more than 20 years ago by an international group of astrophysicists. The project aimed to map the universe using data collected from a telescope in the southwestern U.S. state of New Mexico. The effort used observations from the Sloan Digital Sky Survey, one of the largest astronomical surveys ever carried out. The project received major funding from the U.S.-based Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, a nonprofit science research organization. Researchers say the new 3D map produced measurements of more than 2 million galaxies and quasars, the area at the center of galaxies that produce a large amount of radiation. The measurements helped the team produce a complete story of the expansion of the universe, lead researcher Will Percival said in a statement. Percival is a professor of physics and astronomy at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada. Especially, Percival said the 3D map had filled in 11 billion years in our picture of the universe. Another leader of the research team was Kyle Dawson, a physics and astronomy professor at the University of Utah. He explained that the 3D map is finally providing scientists with information about a large hole in the history of the universe. We know both the ancient history of the universe and its recent expansion history fairly well, but there's a troublesome gap in the middle 11 billion years, Dawson said in a statement. The latest research has helped fill in that information gap, producing some of the most substantial advances in the study of the universe of the past 10 years, he added. The early history of the universe is much more understood because of years of theoretical models and observations of electromagnetic radiation. Studies of galaxies and distance measurements also helped scientists better understand much of the universe's expansion over billions of years. Astrophysicist Jean-Paul Kneipp of the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Lausanne helped launch the mapping project. He said in a statement the goal was to produce the most complete 3D map of the universe throughout the lifetime of the universe. The map shows the elements making up the structure of the universe, starting from the time when the universe was only about 300,000 years old. It permits researchers to measure patterns in how galaxies are positioned. Dustin Lang is a researcher on the project from Canada's Perimeter Institute Research Center. He said the new 3D map can greatly improve efforts to study individual stars, galaxies, and the universe as a whole. It really is incredible that one experiment has produced such a scientific legacy. The map suggests that the expansion of the universe began to speed up at some point and has continued to do so. The researchers said this seems to be caused by the presence of dark energy. Scientists believe this unseen element fits into Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity. The theory of relativity relates to the laws of gravity and describes the movement of large objects. Comparisons between the latest observations and past studies of the early universe have shown differences in the estimated rates of expansion. The currently accepted rate, called the Hubble constant, is 10% slower than the value resulting from distances between galaxies closest to Earth. I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was related to an earlier president with the same last name, Theodore Roosevelt. Many Americans call Franklin Roosevelt by the first letter of each word in his full name, FDR. When FDR took office, the United States was in a severe economic depression. The previous president, Herbert Hoover, had tried to improve the economy, but his efforts had failed. FDR defeated Hoover in the election of 1932. He won, in part, by promising what he called a New Deal for Americans. Voters did not know what FDR's New Deal meant exactly, but many liked his message of hope. Voters also did not know how much FDR would change the country. He remained in office for 12 years, the longest of any U.S. president, and led the country through the Great Depression and most of World War II. Along the way, he changed the way government affected Americans' lives and the job of the U.S. president. Franklin Roosevelt was born on a large estate in New York, about 140 kilometers outside New York City. He was the only child of wealthy parents. His mother and father made sure he had an excellent education. As a young man, he attended a private high school and then Harvard College in Massachusetts. He also studied law at Columbia University in New York. Young FDR was not an excellent student, however. He was interested in many things outside the classroom, including politics and girls. Two of FDR's interests came together in a young woman named Anna Eleanor Roosevelt, who went by the name Eleanor. She was the niece of a politician FDR greatly respected, President Theodore Roosevelt. On the day when Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt were married, Theodore Roosevelt attended the ceremony. In fact, he walked with his niece in front of the guests to her future husband. Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt went on to have 6 children, although one died as a baby. While Eleanor Roosevelt raised the children, Franklin Roosevelt directed his attention to politics. He left a job in a law office to serve in the New York State Senate. In time, he was offered a job in the federal government as an assistant secretary of the Navy. FDR enjoyed the job, but he continued seeking other political positions. He tried unsuccessfully for a seat in the U.S. Senate, but did get nominated by the Democratic Party to be its vice presidential candidate in 1920. Although he and his partner lost the race, FDR seemed like he was in a good position for major political success. But then, something unexpected happened. When he was 39 years old, FDR suffered major health problems. One day he started to feel a pain in his back. The following day his legs grew tired. Then his skin became sensitive. By the end of the week, both his legs were paralyzed. He could not move from the waist down. He remained paralyzed for the rest of his life. The next years were difficult for the Roosevelts. Eleanor and the children helped care for FDR, and he worked hard to recover some of his strength and physical abilities, especially by exercising. While he remained hopeful about his condition, FDR worried about his political career. He did not think the public would accept a leader who could not even walk by himself. So he took several measures. He created a small wheelchair that would not get too much attention. It was made from a dining room chair, with wheels instead of legs. He refused to let photographers take pictures of him being carried or struggling to move, and he found a way to appear as if he were walking. He used a cane or the arm of a partner to balance, and then he swung his hips to make his legs move forward. Using this method, FDR walked to the stage at the 1924 Democratic National Convention. He used the event to nominate the governor of New York for president. That man's bid did not succeed, but FDR showed himself to still be an able politician. 4 years later, FDR himself was elected governor of New York. He held the position in the early years of the country's economic crisis. In 1932, FDR was a candidate for president. He took the unusual step of appearing in person at the Democratic Convention to accept his party's nomination. His campaign was such a success that the Democrats took not only the White House, but majorities in both the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. The strength of the Democratic Party in Congress would help FDR become one of the most powerful presidents the country had ever seen. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.